Hello, this is Ed Markey speaking. Welcome to the Ed Markey Podcast. Okay, so...
Let me know.
Oh, man.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Michelle Weinling, the political director of the Sunrise Movement, in Weizhou, who is one of the youth leaders of the Sunrise Movement. And this is the organization. This is the young people's movement that changed the world, beginning in 2019, into 2020, into 2021, into 2022, when Joe Biden signed the Inflation Reduction Act, or the answer to all of the activism of all the young Sunrise people who... in grammar schools, high schools, colleges, rose up around the United States in order to demand change. So I'd love to hear from both of you what got you interested in climate organizing and what your hopes are for the future of the movement. So maybe we can begin with you, Michelle.
Sure. Thanks, Senator Markey. It's fun to be here doing this with you, celebrating the 5 years of the Green New Deal. I grew up in Denver, in Colorado, a state that is really outdoorsy. You know, the culture is very much celebratory of the fact that we have these beautiful mountains and clean air. And the truth is, that was a lie growing up. I spent a lot of my childhood being told that we needed to take really short showers, being told we couldn't go outside because the air quality was so bad. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized that the fossil fuel executives in Colorado had been doing such a powerful job at making Coloradans think that this clean, beautiful, pristine climate was not being impacted by oil and gas. And when I discovered Sunrise, you know, I had a lot of student debt. I was feeling really bad about the state of the world. And I discovered a community of young people that give you the chance to stand up and to find your own power and know that organizing for a better world is possible. And I've been hooked ever since because I just really do believe in the vision that we're organizing for.
No, thank you. And by the way, doing a great job. And as you're saying, it's nice that everyone takes shorter showers to save the planet, but that's solitary.
Yep.
And what Sunrise Movement is solidarity.
Exactly.
It's putting together tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of young people who are rising up and demanding that the oil, the gas, the coal, the auto industry all change business as usual.
Yep.
So that you're working wholesale and not retail.
Absolutely.
You're not working as individuals, but you're working to make sure that the whole of our society is changed. So Weizhou, tell us your story.
So I grew up in Cambodia, Phnom Penh, and that is a country very, very affected by climate change. We had heat waves, droughts, and famines. And I grew up kind of being told that there was nothing we could do about it. This was just what life was like. But so Phnom Penh was hydropowered. We had so many droughts that we had constant power outages. Mm-hmm. But people would be like, this is just what life is like. But I'm like, why would they make a hydropowered city in a city if there are so many droughts that happen here? So I always had these questions about why this was happening, but I was constantly told that there was nothing we could do about it. Then I moved to America where it's supposed to be different, but it's really not different. I saw how climate change affected people on the coast, how storms and natural disasters took over cities and towns, and I just knew that this couldn't be right. And when I found out about Sunrise Movement, I knew this was my chance to start fighting for the future I knew we deserved and start fighting against this idea that there was nothing we could do.
Yeah, that is absolutely, it's absolutely true. And I was in Cambodia last year, beautiful country. But unfortunately, it's a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's a corrupt regime. So when here we have a chance to affect democracy, to make a difference, well, the 2020 elections made a difference. We were able to get a Democratic House and Senate and presidency. And then young people demanded that they get paid back for everything that they did in the 2020 election cycle.
Yeah.
So can you tell me some of the things that you're proudest of that are now the laws that otherwise would never have been on the books if the Sunrise Movement did not rise to demand change?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the very first one you named is exactly right. When we first started campaigning in 2020, we campaigned on a vision that invested in our generation, that provided good green jobs to millions of people across the country to fight the climate crisis, and argued that a civilian climate corps is what we needed in order to do that. And now here we are with an American climate corps that's just the beginning of providing thousands of good jobs to people across the country that invests in clean energy, that invests in making sure people have safe workplaces. And, you know, in a generation that has endured crisis after crisis, from climate disasters to economic difficulties, a jobs guarantee is an incredible way to not only fight the climate crisis, but to also make sure you're investing in our communities. And that's one of the wins I'm incredibly proud of.
Beautiful. Well, you know, in Cambodia, I went up to Angkor Wat to see at 4:30 a.m. the sunrise over those historically beautiful temples in Cambodia. And it's one of the most memorable moments of my life. But there's something else that began to happen now. The sunrise of solar power in the United States and in the planet. Last year, for the first time, there was more money invested in solar power than in oil in the world. So talk about that, this solar revolution, the renewables revolution, if you would, Wei Xiao.
Yeah, I feel like for so long that people all across the world were told that fossil fuels were the only way we could possibly have like life as we know it and live well, and that without fossil fuels that we wouldn't have jobs, that the economy would fail. But we know that's not true because of legislation like the Green New Deal that tells us we can have green, union, great jobs and have solar and have renewable energy and be able to live in this amazing world where everyone has a job, but also we don't have to rely on dirty oil that kills us.
So why are young people so energized? What is it anger? Is it resentment over the preceding generations? What is it that drives you?
I think there is like a good amount of negative emotions associated with the climate crisis, just because we know that we are the people that are going to have to inherit this world. But there's also so much hope because we know there can be a better world. We see legislation all across the world, all across the country, fighting for a better future. And we know that we can build this world that is where everyone can have a great future. However, When we fight for this, it's hard, but the hope that really keeps us going and the community that we build through this movement really keeps us going.
Yeah, so Michelle, one of the things that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and I were trying to do in the Green New Deal, called the IRA, but really the Green New Deal, was to create a civilian climate corps.
Yep.
In the same way that President Roosevelt had created a civilian conservation corps, but this time domestically and for fighting climate. And we were able to fight in a way that actually created an atmosphere where even though it was killed on the floor of the Senate, Joe Biden then announced that he was going to create the American Climate Corps with 20,000 young people who would be in it. And by the way, just to get that number in perspective, there are 8,000 people in the Peace Corps. The American Climate Corps would have 20,000 people in it, and they're recruiting right now. So talk about that, and talk about what the American Climate Corps means to this generation.
I mean, exactly what you said proves the fact that President Biden saw there is public precedent for a green jobs guarantee. And what we all saw from the incredible work that we did alongside you all around Build Back Better to concede and get the IRA proves that the public knows exactly what they need to better their communities and to fight the climate crisis. And that was an example of the administration seeing that public perception is incredibly powerful, that what young people want is incredibly powerful. And the American Climate Corps is just the start. There were dozens of us attending listening sessions, going on and thanking the administration for the American Climate Corps. Obviously, we've all been working together talking about what a huge moment this is for the Green New Deal and the campaigning that you've been able to do alongside Congresswoman AOC. But then I think the other piece of this has to just be the start, right? 20,000 jobs is incredible. And we have more than 20,000 young people in this country. You know,
there's 50,000 applications already.
Exactly. There is so much public happiness and excitement for a jobs guarantee like this and what this program could be. And so we see this as a beginning and the start of working alongside allies in Congress and across the country to ensure that this program is successful and that it gets bigger and better.
Good. So let's follow up, Weizhou, on what Michelle just said. Bigger and better. The next Green New Deal. Bigger and better than the last one. What's your hope?
Well, I'm so happy about the ACC, but I see...
The ACC?
The American Climate Corps.
Good.
Sorry.
It's already an acronym. It's already an acronym. Our listeners, they haven't got the acronym down yet.
Sorry.
They think it's a basketball conference, the ACC. Yeah, so the American Climate Corps.
The American Climate Corps, yes. But I also see a world where we have climate disaster plans built into our country so that people don't have to worry about losing their house in a flood or a fire or another climate crisis. And I also see a world where there's green housing offered to people, green affordable housing, so people don't have to live in houses fueled by dirty oil, that they can live in a great house and have a great job due to the American Climate Corps and live these green lives while simultaneously working in this economy that we've built to be much greener and much more sustainable for the future. There are so many things that I'm hoping for the future, but I think those are two things that I really, really would love.
Green housing. Well, last year was the hottest year ever recorded, yep. 2023, until this year, yep, which will wind up becoming most likely the hottest year ever recorded. The planet is running a fever. Mm-hmm. There are no emergency rooms for planets. Mm-hmm. So we have to engage in preventative care. So as we head into 2024, in this whole election cycle, Donald Trump's on the ballot, and he's saying, drill, baby, drill. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, plug in, baby, plug in. We're going all electric. We're going all renewable. So what's your plan? What's the message that you have for young people in terms of hope, energy, fighting for the future? What would you say to them right now?
I mean, young people are saying it to each other. They're talking about the fact that there is so much power in our generation that, you know, the past two election cycles have proven that young people really are the deciding factor in competitive races. And the stakes could not be higher this year. You know, we all at this table and probably all the folks listening to this podcast know that the stakes of the climate crisis get worse every single year. And we have to make sure that our generation has a voice in this election cycle, that our generation shows what issues matter most to us. And the concessions we've been able to achieve from powerful organizing over the past 4 years are proof of what we're capable of doing in another 4 years, in another 8 years, you know? And so we have to keep going. And our generation is really clear-eyed about the fact that when we come together, when we fight for our communities and for each other's families, we're powerful. And I think that's what 2024 is going to show as well.
Great. Weizhou, what's your message to young people to not be discouraged, but to get up and fight?
Well, I think that, like Michelle said, we're already saying it to each other, and we really know deep down that we deserve a better world and that we can get it. That's what I would say, that it's totally in reach, it's totally possible, but we have to come together to do it. So if there's anything where you're like, should I get involved in my community? The answer is always yes. There are never any downsides to fighting for what you know your community deserves. And I would say that to young people, but I would also say to fossil fuel executives and to into the politicians bought out by those fossil fuel executives, be scared, because young people are here and we're going to fight for what we know we need.
Yeah. So can I just tell you, I'm inspired by being with the two of you and the energy that you're bringing to the movement and your willingness to take on big oil, big coal, big natural gas, mm-hmm, because they're not going away easily, mm-hmm, but we are going to win. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
That we're going to win. And it's inevitable because of young people. And so what we do on the podcast is we ended up by having a little quiz. And it gives people on the podcast a chance to make a decision. and in our little game that we're going to play. And it's just called Big Oil, a Movie Villain. So I'll read a quote, and you can tell me whether you think the person who said it was a big oil executive or a movie villain. So you got the game?
Got it.
Beautiful. So, first one is, there's no one who wants this over more than I do. I'd like my life back. What do you think? Big oil or movie villain?
What do you think?
There's no one who wants this over more than I do. I'd like my life back.
I'd say so, yeah.
Movie villain.
Oh!
We're wrong!
No. No, it's Tony Hayward, the BP CEO in the wake of the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico in 2010. After the oil rig explosion killed 11 people, injured 17 people, and released 134 million gallons of oil into the Gulf of Mexico, he got so tired of all of the congressional investigations, he just said, no one wants this over more than I do. I want my life back. I want to no longer have public accountability for what BP did in polluting the Gulf of Mexico.
We want our lives back, sir.
Exactly. No, I'm with you. Yeah, so that he just said, I'm out of here.
Wow.
Get me away from the controversy. Okay, here's one more. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. This universe is finite. Its resources, finite. Big oil or movie villain? Let me read it again. This universe is finite. Its resources, finite. Big oil, movie villain.
I feel like a big oil executive wouldn't admit that. They all know it, but they wouldn't admit it. So I think movie.
Movie! That was said by Thanos in Avengers Infinity War. It was a bit of a trick question because big oil executives don't seem to realize that resources are finite. Mm. Okay, but correct. Great job.
Nice.
And so we're up for one final one, the tiebreaker. Here's the quote. Our analysis is that we are not going to be able to meet the challenge that you would like to meet. That is our assessment. We need to leapfrog current generation technology. We need to have breakthroughs that are world changing. What do you think? Big oil or movie villain? I'll read it again. Our analysis is that we are not going to be able to meet the challenge that you would like to meet. That's our assessment. We need to leapfrog current generation technology. We need to have breakthroughs that are world-changing.
This feels like a lot of nothing in a sentence, so it feels like a big oil.
Big oil, Stephen Smith, the senior vice president of ExxonMobil at my 2008 hearing on high gasoline prices when I asked him why Exxon was resisting the renewable revolution. He was waiting for a miracle.
Wow.
Not just deploying wind and solar and all electric vehicles, because when you go all electric vehicles, you don't put oil in the gas tank anymore. And that just obsoletes their business model. So you guys did great. And it's inspiring to have you with us. The leadership that you're providing, young people are leading America and leading the world. And Sunrise is at the forefront of the leadership. Thank you all so
Thank
much
you.
For what you're doing for us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll see you soon on our next podcast.